Welcome, welcome. It's good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. Goodness gracious alive. Isn't it good to know Jesus? That he is alive and well, and he's doing all the wonderful things he's doing. Wow. So I'm sure some of y'all probably noticed we poured four more trucks of concrete up at the beginning. It's getting better all the time, isn't it? Yeah, so praise the Lord. We're getting that road. Eventually, we're going to have a road plumb down here to the church. You know, we got about halfway now. So these young whippersnappers that happen to me, you know, they tell me it's too hot out there. So. No, they're a working bunch, I will have to say. In fact, one day we poured seven trucks, I think, one day. And I think it was 100 or 102 or 3 degrees. That was last year. But they all stayed with me. Nobody passed out. I will have to say, I love telling this story on Jeff. Jeff's a pastor, you know, he's not a concrete man. But he's when you come here, you have to learn how to do everything. So anyway, Jeff hurt his knee. So he called me and told me, said, Pastor, I have hurt my knee and I can't walk. I said, okay, let me pray for you. So I prayed for him. I asked the Lord to fix his knee. And then I said, now then, I prayed for you. Come to work. You got to show some faith. Oh, my goodness gracious. He didn't tell me, but he later told me, said, I just knew that's what you was going to do. I knew. So Jeff got up and come to work. And we poured concrete. And we're coming down, and he's kind of grumbling and complaining into himself. He's not saying nothing to me. But he's kind of grumbling and complaining a little. And finally, we get a couple of trucks poured. And he said, you know, this is nonsense. Pastor did pray for me. All I got to do is show some faith, and God's going to heal me. So he said, Lord, thank you for healing my knee. Now I'm going to pour concrete with no pain. And his knee pain went away, and he got healed. Faith without works is dead, is it not? It's amazing. Today, we're going to be talking in Luke 11 about prayer. But before we get to the scripture, I'm going to tell you, there was a man, and he turned out to be a fairly good friend of mine, but he was a Southern Baptist. Now, I try not to hold that against him, you know, since I was a Southern Baptist so long. But he was a Southern Baptist, and he loved to come by my office and talk with me every once in a while. So one day, I'm always talking to him about God. You know, I mean, I don't talk about the weather and all this other junk. We talk about the scripture. You come by to see me, I don't talk about the weather. I talk about the Lord. So anyway, I'm talking to him about answered prayer. We said, well, I never do get any answers to prayer. I said, well, you don't pray. He said, well, yes, I do. I just don't get answered to prayer. I said, then you don't do anything in faith. I said, if you do something in faith, God told you in the word he would answer your prayer. He said, Thurman, how do you have such great faith? I said, well, it's really not hard. You know, you just open the scripture and you read what it says, and then you just stand on what the scripture says. So anyway, we talked several times. He come by for over 6 or 8 months. One day he come by and he says, we was going to do some welding over here at a place. And he says, my man called in this morning and said he had a migraine headache and he just couldn't. He couldn't go weld. I said, have you prayed for him yet? No, Thurman, I haven't prayed for him. I said, well, you know, if there's anything I've learned about God, God cannot answer the prayer. You don't pray. I mean, is that right? If you don't pray, what can God do anything without praying? No, he said, I know what you have need of even before you pray, before you ask. So he plans for you and me to ask. He's teaching us how to be overcomers. So I said, so you hadn't prayed? He said, well, no, I haven't prayed. I said, you know the scripture says that if two of us on earth agree about anything we ask him for, he'll do it. He said, well, yeah, you've told me. Every time I come over here, you tell me that scripture. So I said, I know that scripture's in the Bible. It's the first time you told me that. I thought you was crazy. So I went home and looked it up, and lo and behold, it was in the book. So he said, yes, I know that scripture's in there. I said, so if it says two of us on earth agree about anything, I said, would that include his headache? Well, yeah. I said, okay, pray. So I asked the Lord to take away the headache. He said, Thurman, I said, no. And I said, you said you never see God answer a prayer. Now, this is why. You just can't do this. I said, Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, take that headache away from Brandy or whatever the guy's name was. And then thank him for doing it. You can tell he's got all the faith in the world. Kind of rolled his eyes a little and said, okay, God. Thurman wants me to ask you to take away him. So, Lord, will you please take away his headache? And then I said, now you forgot one part. Oh, yeah, Lord, thank you for doing it. Okay, so he said, I'll see you later. I said, no, you won't. He said, what do you mean? I prayed. I said, no, but you didn't pray that prayer in faith. I said, you need to do something in faith. Well, what do I need to do? I said, call Randy. He's got a cell phone? He said, yes. I said, call him and tell him you and me prayed and his headache is gone. He can come to work. He said, Thurman, you're out of your mind. I said, no, no, no. I'm going to tell you why you don't ever get a prayer answered. You don't ask in faith. Okay, he said, I'm going to do it. He dials the number. Randy answers the phone. He said, Randy, me and Thurman just prayed for you. Your headache's gone and you're healed. You can come to work. My God, it is. It went away. You're coming to work? Who prayed with you? Thurman. I'll be right there, boss. Wow. He hung the phone up and he said, Thurman. He said, the minute I told him his headache was gone, the headache went away. He said, he'll be here in 15 or 20 minutes. And he said, he wanted to see you when he got here. He walked in my door and he said, are you Thurman Scrivener? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, my boss told me you and him prayed for my headache this morning. He said, as soon as my boss called me and told me that headache was gone, said, sir, it left just like that. And said, I feel like a brand new man. Now then, why do we not get prayers answered? We don't believe. We don't believe. Is that right? If you believe these promises. Now, I want us to go to some of these promises. Since we're going to be, let's start out with Luke 11:5. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And let's see what the scripture says in Luke chapter 11, King James Bible. Luke chapter 11, start with verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go into him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Like I say, some of you are going to be just like this guy in this scripture. If somebody comes to your house and knocks on your door and say, Thurman, get up. I got a friend just dropped by. It's 12 o'clock midnight. We've been in bed since 9 o'clock with the kids, but I don't have nothing. I didn't have a single thing, and they're hungry. They need some. Get up and give me 3 loaves of bread. Let's see what the friend said in verse 6. For a friend of mine is in his journey to come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Okay, verse 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me, and I cannot rise up and give you anything. Is there people that will really do that to you? Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure, there's lots of people. Don't you dare call me. In other words, I'm going to tell you a fact. Some of you may wonder why you have such a hard time getting mine and Cheryl's cell phone. Well, that's why. Because when we do go to bed, we want to go to sleep. We don't want somebody calling us all times of the day and night. But once in a while, before I stopped giving out my cell phone, I used to give it to anybody and everybody. And one night, there was a young man, I believe he was from India. He went to my church in Dallas. This is when I had the church over in Dallas. And he had a sweet little wife, and so anyway, they were just a sweet little couple, really nice. But he called me one morning at about 3 o'clock. You know, I'm pretty well knocked out. I've always been a late go-to-bedder. You know, I'm always up till 12 or 1, and of course, Cheryl and I, now today, we still will be doing emails sometimes at 1 or 2 in the morning, nearly every night. You know, we very rarely ever get in bed for 1 or 2 o'clock. But we answer emails and prayer requests, and we get to see the Lord answer some awesome requests. But, you know, whenever he called me at 3 o'clock in the morning, he said, Thurman, I hate to call you this time of night, but my wife has a splitting headache, said it's the worst she's ever had, and said we've done everything we know to do, and we cannot get this thing to go away. Said she is just really hurting. So anyway, I told her, I said, well, you and her both, I want y'all to repent of all your sin, and I'm going to pray. And so we did, and I prayed, and it didn't go away. And so I prayed, and it didn't go away. And I prayed, and it didn't go away. And so then I got down on my hands and knees, and I prayed, and it didn't go away. Finally, an hour later, I prayed, still on my knees on the floor. And she screamed out loud. She said, it just left. I'm totally free of pain. Let me tell you, you know, the Word of God is clear. Now, let me show you in the Scripture where it says it in verse 8. Let's see what he says to do here, that where he says the door is shut. But I say unto you, though he will not rise up and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence or importunity, he will rise up and give him as many as he needeth. Verse 9, let's see what that says. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. He didn't say how many times you might have to ask. The thing about it is, you're not trying to get God to do something he doesn't want to do. You're overcoming the enemy. God is training you and me how to be overcomers. And sometimes you get a demon that's pretty powerful. In fact, this morning while I was studying all of this, I've had a little twinge of a back pain for the last 2 weeks. Not very bad, but just a little. And this morning while I'm studying this scripture, I'm studying, sitting there leaned over, you know, looking into my computer, and all of a sudden a little twinge hit me in the back. And I just jumped up and I said, that's it. I've had it. No more back pain. Jesus paid my price. I said, you devil of hell. I reached around with both hands and grabbed my back like it. I said, you beast of hell, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of me and go and don't never come back. And I stood up and I had not a sign of pain in my back. You're not trying to get God to do something he's reluctant to do. You're repenting of your sin, and you're taking away from the enemy by force what rightfully belongs to you as a daughter or son of God. Does that make sense? You are a child of God, and he is a father to us, and he wants to answer our prayer, and he will answer our prayer every time if we do not give up. But you got to remember, this is what he's doing. He is training you and me as his sons and daughters how to be overcomers on this earth. And he don't want a bunch of wimps. He wants men and women that can fight the battle, that can stand their ground. And that's what you have to do. Just like when that young Indian boy called me that night, and I know God wants to heal that woman. I know, but I don't know why it's taking so long. But I know that all, how many of the promises of God are yes? Okay, if all the promises of God are yes and amen, if you know that and you've got that ingrained in your heart, if he says, ask and it shall be given to you, is the answer yes? It's always yes, isn't it? If God says, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So if he told you all of that, and then over there in 2 Corinthians, he says, all my promises are yes every time. I never say no to my children. When you ask for something, it's already done. Now then, why do we give up so easy? When we get a pain or something, why do we give up? Why don't we, if we know that he bore our sickness and he removed our disease, if we know that, and that's in Matthew 8, 16 and 17, if we know that Jesus bore our sickness, if we know Jesus removed our sin, we know he removed our pain, if the enemy tries to come upon us, why in the world do we not stand our ground until we get the answer? Why do we give up so easy? Why? I mean, is that what we do? Do we give up too easy? Yeah. Paula, when you started fighting your battle to get rid of your sickness, when you began to learn these things, how long did it take you to go from the time you first started, first learned the beginning, till the day you got healed? How long was it?
It was between 4 and 6 weeks.
Between 4 and 6 weeks. In other words, it wasn't a one-time thing where we prayed for you over one time and you got healed. You had to fight the fight of faith. Yeah. But how long ago was it when you got healed?
March.
You got healed in March, and you felt like a new woman ever since, right? I mean, wow. So I know her husband one day, I was talking to him. He said, man, I can't keep up with this woman no more. He can't keep up with you no more. Now then, what if you were to give up at 2 weeks? What if you had said after you didn't get healed in 2 weeks, what if you said, well, it's not God's will to heal me? You would still be sick today.
Yeah. It took a made-up mind.
Yeah. Do what?
It took a made-up mind.
It's a made-up mind. That's exactly what it does. It takes you coming to this, and I say unto you, just look at this. Ask, and you shall, and it shall be given to you. Not sometime, not maybe, it will be. Ask and it shall be. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Well, let's go to verse 10. Let's go on here a little further here. For some of the people that ask get their answer. Oh, wait a minute now. That's got to be a misprint. I mean, the way we handle the Word of God, it couldn't possibly say what it says. For everyone that asked, he said, no, God, you made a mistake there. You know, I've asked before and I didn't get my answer. As Paula asked many times, we prayed many times over this girl, but it took 4 to 6 weeks before the final thing showed up and she got healed. Now then, since March, she's been completely, totally healed. Like I say, if she had given up after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, if it was 4 to 6 weeks, if she had given up one day short, she could still be sick today. Because you were sick for how many years, Paula?
It was over 18 years.
18 years the girl was sick. 18 years. And then she finally come to a place and found out that Jesus is still the healer. Wow. Isn't that something? For that is no misprint. I tell you, we act like it's a misprint when we say for everyone that asks us, well, that's everybody besides me. That's just like that Baptist deacon that stood in my office. Every time he'd come by here, every time he'd get a chance, he'd come by because he loved to talk about Jesus. He'd love to hear my stories, but he didn't have none. You know, he wants to hear my stories. Well, I like to hear your stories. You know, I like to talk to you about Jesus and show you how to do these things. And then the next week you come in and say, boy, Thurman, let me tell you this praise report I just got. Let me tell you how I prayed for this guy and got healed. I mean, is that where we should be living?
Yes,
because for everyone that asks, does that include you and me? Yes, that's supposed to be all of us. So why in the world, with all these promises like this, why do we not believe? Why can I be a Baptist or a Methodist or a Church of Christ or what, any church, Pentecostal, doesn't make any difference. And I come down and I listen to Thurman or one of you people here talk about your miracles, and I hear where God done all these answers to prayer, or I go over at Mike's shop and I get to hear some awesome testimonies about things that happened over there. Some of them's about cars and some of them's about people. I mean, I love the story where Mike couldn't get the pin out of the timing gear that time. I mean, he's been working on cars all his life and he knows how simple it is to pull that pin out. And he could not get that pin out. I mean, he put a pair of pliers on that pin and he nearly broke the thing trying to pull it out and he couldn't get it out. He'd been working on it an hour. But he's not giving up. Now, why is he not giving up? Because he knows it's going to work. And he's a mechanic. Well, his lovely little bride comes out there in a little while and says, Mike, what's wrong? And he says, I can't believe I can't get this pin out of this deal. And this lovely little bride, Gracie, she says, well, have you prayed about it yet? Now see, and of course him being the big strong man he is, I don't need to pray about this. It's only a pen. I can pull it out. I'm a big boy. That's kind of the way we boys are. You boys know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had days like that when something that's supposed to be so simple, and you can't do it, and you work on it for hours trying to get it, and all you needed to do was pray, God was training you. But that's where Mike was that night, and he couldn't get that pen out. And so Gracie watched him for a long time, and she said, "Are you going to pray?" He said, "Honey, all I got to do is pull this pen out, and it's done. But are you going to pray?" "I don't need to pray." She said, "Okay, we're going to be here a long time." So he says, "Okay, I give up, Lord. I got to have some help. Lord, help me get this pen out." And he reached up, and the pen just fell out. Is that right, Mike? I see, as many time and gears and time and chains and everything as he'd put on, he knew how easy that pen was to pull out. It was easy. But today, God's going to train him how to be an overcomer. He's going to force him to pray. And whenever his wife came out, I mean, just think, if he hadn't had his wife for helping him that night, he might have still been there daylight the next morning trying to pull that pen out, because he had to get that car out that night. He wanted that car out. He promised it to somebody, and he couldn't get the pen out of the timing gear. A simple little thing. But he didn't give up. Now, why is it that we'll take a man like Mike that's a good mechanic, and something physically like that, he will never give up on? I mean, if he hadn't prayed, if it had taken until daylight the next morning, he would have still been there the next morning trying to get that pen out of that timing gear, because he knows he can do this. But maybe he wouldn't have prayed. And but with God, God was training him. That night, I guarantee, after that night, and after Mike and Grace did what they did over that timing problem on that timing gear on that car, I guarantee that brought Mike and probably Gracie too, to a new place of praying about everything. Is that right? I mean, now you don't hesitate to pray about everything, right, Mike? I mean, isn't it amazing? But why does God do this? He's training you and me to be overcomers. You know what he wants? What he wants is, well, I think they do this now, but what he wants is for them to come together in prayer to bless the day today. And Lord, may you guide and direct everything we do today. We're your children. Lord, use us today for your glory. That's what he wants. That's what he wants from every one of you. And then when he does something, you know, or whenever, like that story, I've told some of y'all this before. Some of you may not have heard it, but it's a really good story. When I went to Washington State, when I used to be an engineer and work for a company, I went up there to look at a building, and I had to be there at 7 o'clock on Monday morning. So I flew up on Saturday, went to Washington, because that's a long ways. And I rented me a motel not too far from the place I was going to be looking at, where I could be close Monday morning. And so then I got my rent car, and I drove down the street, and I said, well, I'm going to find me a church I can go to in the morning. So I found a church down there, and I forget what the name of it was for sure, but anyway, I found a church, wasn't far. And so the next morning, I went up to the door and found the signs on it, what time services was and everything, and I thought, well, in the morning, I'll come to church. So I got up the next morning, went to church down there, and the pastor, I don't remember anything else he talked about, but I remember this story. He said, when I went to seminary, they didn't teach me about demons. Said, I didn't learn anything about demons, but said, I started looking at what demons do in the Bible. So he said, I started studying demons, and said, I just became engulfed in studies of the Bible and of other writings other men had written about demons. So he said, after months of study, one day I made this statement. I was backed up, leaned back in my easy chair there at my desk, and said, okay, God, I'm ready for a demon. Send me one. Well, I mean, you got to start somewhere, right? I mean, you can't go on forever. I mean, God's training him. Obviously, God was training him, right? Yeah. I mean, he's done me that way with certain things. And when he felt like he was ready, he said, okay, Lord, I've got it. Now I think I know how these things work. So he said, send me a demon. I'm ready. And, you know, and so, but like I say, we all got to start somewhere. And so anyway, he said that afternoon when he started home, it was a beautiful day. And he said, I only lived about 5 blocks from the church. And so I usually walk. And so he said, I'm walking home. He said, I get about a block from the church toward the house. And all of a sudden I hear a blood-curdling scream. He said, man, I look over there and there's an apartment complex over there. And there is a old, scraggly-headed, white-headed woman with a great big long butcher knife come running out of that, one of the doors at the end of that apartment, and she's running straight for me saying, "I'm going to kill you." He said, "Man, let me tell you what, I only had to see that one time," and he said, "My shirt tail didn't hit my backside till I got to the house." He said, "I was running just as hard as I could run." He said, "Just as I run into my front yard, I stopped and I turned around and looked and said, there was nothing nowhere." And I thought, "Wow, I wonder where she went." And he said, "I heard the Lord say, I thought you were ready." He said, "I found out right there I wasn't ready." He only thought he was ready. So you see what God will do? If he's training you and me, he was training that pastor how to be an overcomer and how to cast out demons. But you know, that's the way God does us. So if you, whatever you're training for, whatever you want to do, read, study, pray, and everything, and get ready. And then when you think you're ready to do whatever, if you think you're ready to heal the sick, and you know, you should be, you know, you should have said, "Well, I've heard Pastor Thurman talk about this so many times. I just know now, if I can just touch somebody in the name of Jesus, because it's written, I know Jesus is going to heal that person. I just know he's going to. So, Lord, send me somebody I can deal with." And he will. You know, you'd be down to Walmart or somewhere, and you're in there shopping or buying something, or you walk in the parts house or the grocery store or somewhere, and there'll be somebody over there, and he'll say, "You see that little girl over there?" And you say, "Yes, Lord." He said, "You see she's got a problem with her arm?" "Yes, Lord." He said, "Well, go over there and lay hands on her, and I'll heal her." And so many people, Lord, I mean, they're hearing this thought come to their mind. "Go lay hands on that girl, that little girl, and I'll heal her." And some people will even go over and talk to the person. "What is wrong with your little girl?" And they may tell them. And still, they'll never have the faith to say, "Can I pray for you?" Now, what do you think God's going to be able to do if you don't do nothing? He ain't going to do nothing. He wants to heal that child. That's why he put it on your heart. That's why he trained you to learn how to get prayers answered. But now he wants you to do something, especially like the lady in the Mississippi terminal that day. And I know this woman personally. She was a great woman of God. She loved God with all her heart. And she was going somewhere. And she had to stop in Mississippi to change planes and to go on a little further. And when she was in her terminal, she was kind of like we were the other day. We had to change planes on the way to Des Moines, or
Charlotte, Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. Yeah, we were on the way to Michigan. And we didn't have much time because the airplane was late getting out of Dallas.
36
yeah, 36 minutes late. So we had to, you know, really hook them up. You know, so and it was a long ways from one terminal to the other. I mean, it was a long, but anyway, this lady, she was like us, only I think she was a little closer than we were. She was running. We were just kind of trotting. But we were still walking above normal speed, that's for sure. But anyway, the Lord, as she's running through the terminal, she sees a man over there in a wheelchair. And as she runs by there, I mean, she's a great woman of faith. And she looks over there, and the Lord says, "Lay hands on him, and I'll heal him." She says, "Lord, I don't have time to lay hands on him. I got to catch my airplane." Now, see, she's being tested. She's being tested. And so finally he says, "Lay hands on her now, lay hands on him and I'll heal him for you." So she goes running over there. I mean, she just goes running over to that person and she says, "I'm going to touch you in the name of Jesus." "I'm going to touch you in the name of Jesus." And that's all she did. Just, "I'm going to touch you in the name of Jesus," and then ran off. Never said another word. Never stopped to see what happened or nothing. And she went on to her appointment. She caught her airplane. The next day she come back, and as she come by, there's a stack of newspapers sitting right there that says, "Unknown woman touches a man and he was healed of whatever, and he got out of a wheelchair and walked." And it hit the newspaper. Nobody even knew who she was. I was down in Houston one day where this woman was teaching, actually close to Houston. I was down there, and her husband both told me that story. I thought, man, that's a cool story. You know, I mean, so I wonder how many times God tells us to do something for him And we don't do it. I guess if you were to ask, I'd have to hold up both hands. I have done that. I have had the Lord tell me to do things as I'm learning how to be an overcomer. And he'd give me a specific thing to do. And I'd either question him or I didn't do it. Now, the day he told me to go do my paperwork when I was under that 20,000 pounds of steel, I'm so glad I did what he said. Because whenever I said, Lord, he spoke to you and just declared and said, son, you forgot to do your paperwork this morning. I said, Lord, that's right, I did. But I said, Lord, I just like 15 minutes under here, I'll finish this and then I'll go do it. He said, no, son, I want you to go do it right now. Now I got a choice to make, don't I? So I said, okay, Lord, I'll go do it right now. So I crawled out from under there and stood up and took two steps and the supporting structure holding that 20,000 pounds of steel just exploded and 20,000 pounds of steel was laying flat on the ground where I was 5 seconds before. I was only missed death that close. Every one of us missed death that close every day. You're driving down the road out here at 70 miles an hour. Every time you pass somebody or somebody goes close to you, you're within a second or two of dying. You know that? Only a second or two, and you could be dead. We don't even think about that. So, you know, most of us don't pray. We really don't pray. For everyone that asks receives. How many? Okay, if you can get that beat into you, especially if God prompts you to do something, what should you do? Do it. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. Just like the day that Kim, her and her husband sitting right there where that couple sitting on the front row, second row back, they were sitting right there and they had no power at their house. And the power people told them that by morning they'd have it back on. But by morning they didn't have it back on. So Kim asked the Lord, Lord, why is the power still off? And the Lord spoke to her and says, Kim, remit the sins of this block so I can turn the power back on. Now then, and she argued with God. She said, God, I can't forgive the sins of this whole block. Then she thought, what am I talking about? If God told you to remit the sins of the block, how many can you forgive? All of them. That's absolutely right. All you got to do is believe. So she said, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I remit the sins of this block. And when she said that, instantly the power came back on. Is that amazing or is that amazing? Most people, whenever you take that scripture in John 20:23 that says, whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Almost nobody that I've ever met in the church, other than some of you in this church right here, I've hardly met, even pastors don't believe you can do that. But who said we could do that? Oh, he doesn't count, does he? Who said that? Oh, only Jesus? Miss Jackie, that Jesus said that? If Jesus said that, then you think we ought to be able to believe the master? So if Jesus tells you to do something, if Jesus tells you to forgive everybody on this block so he can heal certain, if he tells you walk in a hospital room and here's a person that's sitting here and they're handicapped or whatever, or they're knocked out, they can't breathe or nothing, they got their eyes closed and everything else, and you walk up and say, boy, they look bad. You know, sometimes, Carrie, you know, she's not here today. Carrie walked up the other day with her husband. They took a flight. Her relative was in the hospital in Florida, already been put in a hospice. And when they got down there and Miss Carrie looked at her relative, they looked bad, didn't they, Miss Jackie?
Yes, sir.
That's what she told us, wasn't it? She said they looked really, really bad. And she said, it just knocked my faith completely out when I saw how bad she looked. So she said, Jesus spoke to me, and this is what he said. He says, Carrie, my daughter, remember Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he had been dead 4 days. This woman is still alive. Did that boost her faith up a little?
Yes.
Yes, it did. This woman's still alive. So she laid hands on her relative and prayed. And the next day, that woman's out of the hospital. And 2 months later, in fact, I guess it was last week or week before last, she gave us a testimony. She was sitting right there beside Miss Jackie. She said, my relative and her husband was out having dinner with somebody on Sunday afternoon. They're just feeling great. Didn't she say that? Now, if Jesus tells you to pray for somebody and all of a sudden you lose your faith, he'll even give you a little something to build your faith. Isn't that something? Remember, Carrie, Jesus prayed for Lazarus after he'd been dead 4 days, and I raised him from the dead. But this woman is still alive. So if this woman's still alive and she's still breathing, how hard is it going to be for God to heal that woman? Piece of cake, right? Absolutely. All you got to do is believe. So don't you love it when Jesus talks to you, when he tells you what to do? But isn't it how sad it is when we argue with him? But we do that. I mean, I don't do it very much anymore. In fact, I'm going to, since all of y'all saw, they came down the road, you saw our entryway up there where we just finished that concrete this week. We did that this week. I've told every one of those contractors that have worked up there, I said, you know how come that I started the road back where I did? And he said, well, I have no idea. I said, I walked up here and I laid my forms down all the way to against the road, to the asphalt. I laid the first 30-foot beam down right there. And when I got it laid down, just laid on the ground, I didn't even have it nailed down or nothing. I just laid it down and I stood up and the Lord says, son, I said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to start the farms at the double white poles. I looked over there and I thought, wow, okay, I wonder why I'm going to go back, way back over there. That's 40 feet or so. Okay, I mean, if God says start at the double white poles, what do you do? You start at the double white pole. You don't argue. You don't ask no questions. You just do what the master tells you. So I moved back, and we started putting farms down, and we started pouring concrete right there where those double white poles are at, even with them. And we poured all the way down nearly to the tank down here. We're nearly halfway up here with all that concrete. When we got about half of that poured, one day a city manager come driving down the road, and he said, Mr. Scrivener, I need to talk to you a minute. I said, yes, sir. What about? He says, we're going to need a permit from you to put a water line and a gas line underneath your road. He said, we're going to build houses over here, and so we need water and gas to those. So he said, we need you to give us a permit. So I said, wow, now I know. I said, if I had a concreted where I started the concrete, you'd had to saw cut all that and jackhammer it all out. He said, well, we wondered why you started back where you did. I said, now we all know. God told me to start back there. I started back there, and now then nobody's going to have to jackhammer any concrete. So we're going to pour it down here as far as we can go. When you guys get through with the water line and the gas line, and they did, and this last week they poured the entryway. It didn't cost me a dime. And they used 4 truckloads of concrete and all that steel and everything. They've done a good job. Really looks good. Does it do good? Does it pay good dividends to obey the master? Yes. So, I mean, you wouldn't even have any idea why he said that. That's just like one day, Cheryl and I had been out to dinner with a couple after church on Sunday. I came in my office and it was about 11 o'clock when we got back. And I sat down in front of my desk and I heard the Lord say, son, I said, yes, Lord. He said, go check the bathrooms. Okay. So I never asked why. I just get up and I walk down here into the church. I walk in the doorway, go all the way up the front, start back, walked in the first bathroom, look at everything. Ain't nothing running, no leaks. Everything looks good. I said, well, okay, go to the second one, open the door, walk in, look, everything looks great. Go to the next one, open the door, and the cold water faucet is running wide open. I thought, ain't that something? God is even interested in wasting water. It's his water. And we're wasting it. And so all I had to do is turn the faucet off. You know, if he hadn't told me that, and at that time I didn't check the bathrooms ever. Now every Sunday, after everybody leaves, I walk everything, check everything. Because I just think, what if I'd have left those cold water faucets on all week long and it had run all week? You know how much water that could have wasted in a week? It could have wasted a lot of water. So I've come to realize that God is interested in everything. So he's training me how to check everything, because until I had a problem, I mean, if somebody else had found that and turned it off, we still wouldn't be checking things. But now then that we know that it can happen, now we don't wait till 11 o'clock at night. As soon as everybody gets out of here and we close the front door, we walk the place and check everything. Because we don't want to waste anything. And it pays such good dividends to have a king that's in charge of everything. He just tells you what to do. Isn't that wonderful? For I love this scripture where he says, for everyone that asks receives. Just like Miss Paula. We asked him, we didn't get an answer. And that's when most people give up, isn't it, Paula? Just like little Jenna, when we prayed for Jenna. We prayed for Jenna for a year and a half before we finally got an answer. And then we had to find the sin. Just like Dave. Dave, we prayed for 20 months for Dave before we finally got him healed. But because we did not give up and because we stood our ground, Dave got completely healed. Now he's been healed for 10 or 12 years. And totally healed for everyone. How many? Everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks findeth, and to him that knocketh, it might be open. That's the way we read it. So many times we read this that maybe, just like that Baptist deacon, whenever I told him, I said, now I want you to pray. And when he said, my man's got a headache and he couldn't come to work, I said, have you prayed? Well, no. I said, well, there's a perfect opportunity for you to get a prayer answered. And he said, Thurman, nobody ever tells us to do this. I said, well, I'm telling you to do it. And I said, God's telling you to do it. And if what I'm telling you to do comes right out of the Word of God, is it good stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, if it's right in the book. And then whenever he prayed, he didn't believe. He didn't have no idea that God's going to answer his prayer. I'm telling you, when I told him, I said, now then, that you prayed, call him and tell him he's healed. He can come to work. He don't have a headache. He said, Thurman, you can't be serious. Hey, I am serious. You want to see God answer? You got to show some faith. Is that right? You got to do something. You know, it just don't happen. You just can't say, oh, God, if it be your will, heal that headache. No, he won't never heal that headache. That ain't the way it works. You got to know it's done. You got to know that Jesus paid the price for that on the cross 2,000 years ago. It is yours for everyone. Okay, verse 11. Let's go to verse 11. Let's see what he said there. He gives you an example. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, would you give him a stone? Now, how many of you? And he's giving you an example that any of us, I mean, everyone, if a son, in other words, you, all of you, or many of you have children, just like I had children. If your child asks you for a loaf of bread, are you going to reach down and give them a rock? How many of y'all going to do that? Nobody. Nobody's going to give them a stone. If a son shall ask bread, and any of you orders a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he, for a fish, give him a serpent, a snake? He's using simple, plain things to try to tell us how this system works. Verse 12. Let's go to verse 12. Or if he shall ask for an egg. And when you read that, I think, wow. Sharon, a lot of the time, will boil. She's got a special little deal that boils eggs. She'll boil eggs and then she'll put them in the bowl and put them in the refrigerator. And sometimes they'll be last long enough for Cheryl to get one, but very rarely. I usually eat them all. Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? You know, all I had to do was tell Sharon, one day she was in there with that new little gadget. I said, I sure do like boiled eggs. That's all I had to say. Next time I went in there was a bowl with three or four boiled eggs in it with pastor's name in it. I thought, wow, do these girls love me? I mean, these girls take such good care of me. I'm so grateful to the team of people that God has put here to help, for each one of us to help each other to do what we do for the kingdom of God. You know, isn't it wonderful to live in a place where everybody loves everybody? I mean, it's so nice, you know, so nice and so wonderful. Okay, verse 13. If you then, being evil, wow, We don't see ourselves as evil most of the time, but you know, we are a pretty rotten bunch. You know that? If you don't believe that, all you got to do is hang out with one of us for a while. You'll find out how rotten we can be. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If you then, being evil, you know, when I, as a pastor, I listen to people's problems. And you know, I was the most fortunate person in the world. I had the most wonderful dad and mom, and I just stand in awe of how fortunate I was. I thought everybody had a good mother and a good dad. When I was growing up, I just thought everybody had a good mom and a good dad. But then when I got a little older, I found out, especially when I left home, I got married and moved into the world, I began to listen to people that didn't have a good mother or dad, either one. And some of them, I guess it was kind of like when we moved out here from Louisville. Tim was, I don't know, so big. One day he come home from Northwest and he said, "Daddy, what is wrong with us?" I said, "What do you mean, son? What's wrong with us?" He said, "Dad, I think that we are the only family in my class of boys that has only one mother and one dad to the family." He says, "The rest of them, some of them got three and four and five mothers and fathers." He said, "You don't know who belongs to who?" He said, "Is there something wrong with us?" I said, "No, son, we're right. We're where we're supposed to be. They're all wrong." I said, "It's not supposed to be four or five mothers and dads, and is it? That's not the way God planned the system." But you know, when you talk to some of these boys, when you hear how they've been abused, or some of the girls, when you talk to some of the little girls, you know, the way that when they have another man or two or three in the house, and my gosh, when you sit down and talk with them and you wonder how they get so messed up. And in fact, some of the things that Cheryl and I pray for, I wouldn't even tell you some of the things that we have prayed for, because they're so private things that people share with us. When I learned I had all power and all authority over the demonic spirits and that they have to be subject to me, when I learned that, when I learned when I pray, when I not only pray, but when I give a command to a spirit, when I give that command, in fact, put Luke 10, 19 and 20 up there. I want you to see Luke 10, 19 and 20. When you realize this is the power that God has given you and me once we learn how to be an overcomer to a degree. Jesus is talking again. He's quoting this. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." In other words, the devil and his demons. "And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding," or "nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits," in other words, he's talking about evil spirits, "are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." When you and I learn that, and you have somebody that has been beat up on by the enemy, I mean, they've been living in different homes, different people, they've been sexually abused and physically abused and everything else, when you realize these demons that are in these people that's creating these problems with these children and beating up on them day by day, when you realize you have the authority, you can take that authority and you can change the world that you live in. I mean, just like school. I mean, in fact, there was a Baptist preacher's wife was coming to, I was asked to teach a Bible study class over in Flower Mound at a Baptist church. And the Baptist preacher's wife came to every class. And one day I was talking about this verse and the authority that we have. And she said, "I never heard that verse quoted or never heard anybody talk about this verse." I said, "Wow." I said, "I can't get by without this verse." She said, give me an example. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I says, do you work outside of the church? And she said, oh yeah, I work a job. And I said, well, I said, is everybody nice at your job? Are you kidding? She said, when they found out I'm a pastor, why some of them that use vulgar speaking got worse. She said, some of them, she said, I've asked some of them to not use that vulgar language, but she said, they just get worse. I said, well, it's a demon. It's a demon living in those people, causing them to do that. I said, this scripture right here says you have got all power and all authority over those spirits. Does it not? Yes. And that they have to be subject to you? Yes. Does it say that? Yes. Then do you think it means what it says? Yes. Of course. So I told her, I said, Monday, in fact, I think this was on a Tuesday, I said, tomorrow, Wednesday, when you go to work, I want you to walk up to the front door. I want you to look around to make sure there's nobody nowhere looking, nobody hearing or nothing. Then I want you to speak out loud, not loud, not real loud, but just quote Luke 10:19-20. And then say, Satan, I command and demand in the name of Jesus that you stop using foul words in my presence in the name of Jesus. Do you hear me? Now, how much power do you have over the devil? So if he has to be subject to you, why don't you talk to him like he has to be subject to you? You see where I'm coming from? Tell the beast what he's got to do. Are you a child of God? Absolutely. You're a child of the King. You have been given all power and all authority over these evil spirits. So I said, you demand and command those spirits not to speak a word of profanity in your hearing, not one. And I said, be forceful and tell the devil, you ain't taking no for an answer. You're a daughter of the King. You're a child of God. The next Tuesday night, I come back to that church to teach. When I walked in, she said, Thurman, I have got to tell you what happened. She said, last Tuesday night, when you told me what you did, she said, I thought, when I first heard that, I thought, surely I don't have this kind of power. But she said, I looked at that and I read that and said, it says that. And I said, yes, ma'am, it says that. So she said, the next morning I went to work, I did exactly what you told me to do. I walked up to that door. I took authority over that situation. I told that devil and his demons he could not use no more vulgar profanity around me. I didn't want to hear it, and that he had to be subject to me, and I was not taking no for an answer. See, I did that every morning. Said, up till right now, Tuesday night again, a whole week is come and gone. She said, you know how many words of profanity I've heard? I said, probably not any. She said, that's exactly right. Not one single word of profanity have I heard. Now, isn't that amazing? So what did Jesus say? I mean, where did I get my information? From the Word of God. That's right, honey, in the Word of God. Behold, if Jesus is talking and he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread or trump on or kick the whatever out of the devil and his demons. Do you believe you can do that?
Yes.
Tread on serpents and scorpions and over how much?
All
the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not in this, that those spirits have to be subject unto you. Just think. When you start reading this Bible like it means what it says, and you start believing it, then you'll be like Shane. This man from, Michigan. He walked in the other day and he said, Thurman, I have learned since I've been listening to you, we serve a mean God. And I said, well, Shane, we do. I said, can you clarify that for me? He said, yes, we serve a God that means what he says and says what he means. I said, okay, I'll be in complete agreement with that. Does he mean this?
Yes.
Did he say what he means?
Yes.
And did he mean what he said?
Yes.
Yes. Did he give you and me as his children all power and all authority over the evil one?
Yes.
Yes. So if he give us that power, why in the name of the Lord, and he give us his name, like Dave said there a while ago, he give us his name to use to kick these devils out. And it's amazing the number of times Cheryl and I have used these things since we've learned them. Now we realize that we're not praying trying to get God to persuade him to do something he's reluctant to do. We're taking care of the devil, and we're overcoming the enemy, and we're driving him away. And in the process, we are being trained to be overcomers. You're not, what, honey? Yeah, that was a pretty, I mean, by knowing this, there was a little four-year-old girl that had been abused in so many ways. And in the process, she had not slept good at night for a year. When I heard this and heard where she was coming from and the people that wrote the letter, I knew she was being tormented by demons. And that I had all, how much power do I have over these demons? See, all I got to do is believe that. So when I prayed that prayer, I mean, I didn't pray it. I prayed it forcefully. Satan, I'm coming boldly into the throne room of God. Now, did he tell me to come boldly in there?
Yes.
So why not do what he says? I come boldly into the throne room of God. I take authority over these foul spirits. I remit the sins that everybody did that caused this little problem with this little girl where she can't sleep. Now, Lord, I thank you for forgiving. You said if I forgive anybody's sins, just like John 20:23 says, they are forgiven. Is that what he said? So I said, I forgive their sins. I remit their sins. Now then I'm kicking out the devil and I'm commanding the devil and his demons to get away from this little 4 or 5 year old girl that hadn't slept good in a year. And I'm causing you to get away. And I'm asking you, Father, to send the spirit of slumber to that little girl where she'll sleep beautiful tonight in the name of Jesus. And just a couple of days later, we got another email back and people were just absolutely awestruck. They said, whatever you did, the little girl is sleeping beautiful every night without a problem. When I tell the devil to go away, what does the beast have to do? When you tell him to go away, what does he have to do? If you believe that you have the same power I have, it's written right here in this book. Is that right? It's written. It's not for me. It's not for Michael. It's for all of us. It's not just for Dave. It's for every son of God. That includes you and me, does it not? So when we learn who we are, I mean, I got so tickled at Dave, last healing school. When somebody comes, we just about through praying to people, and somebody comes and said, Pastor, you really need to go in the bathroom. Dave's in there with a guy coughing up blood. Said he's coughing up blood. I said, okay. So I went around there, and of course Mike was sitting there on the floor with him too. Dave and Mike was over there. I walked up there and I looked at this situation, and this guy's got blood all over everything. Blood in the trash can, blood on the stool, blood on the sink, blood on the floor. And Dave's over there saying, sir, when you get a hold of the fact that you're a son of God and he's already paid the price for your sins, that sickness is going to go away and your blood's going to stop. He said, he just couldn't see that. I said, Dave, you got it under control. I just reached up and laid my hand on his head and I said, I'm going to be in agreement with you, Dave. As soon as he figures it out, Lord, let it happen quick. I said, Mike, come on, we're going to go eat. Dave's got it. So I drug Mike and Gracie out. Me and Cheryl went. I said, Dave's got it under control. I know the boys got it under control. The next day at church on Sunday, this was on Saturday at the healing school. The next day that man was here. I don't know if he's here today or not. He may be here today. I don't know. But anyway, he was here the next day and he looked like a brand new man. I mean, no blood, no nothing. I said, wow, you look good today. He said, just like Dave said, when I finally figured out I am a son of God and it's already done, he paid the price. He said, my blood quit running and I was healed just like that. Isn't that something? Jesus has already paid the price for his sons and daughters. Are we sons and daughters? Did he give sons and daughters all power and authority over the devil? Yes, he did. Praise God. Okay. Are we going to have communion today? Okay. Let's just stop right there then and we'll do our communion today. And then we'll do something else. Now, how many of you, while they're getting the communion ready, how many of you are born again children of God? How many of you know you have power and authority over the devil? How many of you are not afraid of the devil? How many of you know that when you speak, the devil's got to obey you? If you only know that, He will obey you. Will he not, brother? Yes, he will. Now, if you go in there and start saying, Mr. Devil, will you please leave my daughter alone? He's going to laugh at you and say, oh, this fool don't know what they're, they have no idea who they are. But you go in there and you read him the riot act. Is that right, brother? I mean, you tell that devil where to go and what to do, and he'll know, better leave this guy or this girl alone. They know who they are in Christ. Because if you know who you are in Christ, he'll be able to sense it. And if he knows that you know that you can go to the throne room of God, bold as a lion, walk in there and tell the Master in the name of Jesus anything you want to, and the Father will make it come to pass when you get a hold of that Jesus has already paid the price for all this, it won't be no problem. It won't be no problem. But until you get that, don't start mealy-mouthing around saying, I hope this works. I'm going to try this. No, it will not work. That don't work, does it, brother?
No.
Now, you got to know who you are as a son of God, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I mean, you walk in there and knock the whatever out of the devil. Punch his lights out, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, y'all go ahead and pass out the stuff. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yes, we'll take one of these little fellers and one of these little fellers and praise the Lord. I'm going to set them down right over here so I don't spill them until we get ready. Wow. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Communion means a whole lot. Dave does a great job of telling you what it means. Yes, he does. We are sons and daughters of God. And he bore our sickness and removed our disease on that cross. All we got to do is make sure we have repented. Lord, I repent. And then he immediately forgives you. Doesn't he? Wow. What a God we serve. Wow. And we pass out the bread. Yeah, we have a healing school Saturday. So we invite any and everybody. If you got somebody that's sick, tell them to come to the healing school if they want to get well.
1:00.
Yeah, 1:00. Yeah, 1:00 Saturday till 5:00 Saturday. And then we stay and pray for people till it's over. Wow. While we're passing out all this, how many of you have been to a healing school here at this church? Wow, it's almost everybody, yeah. How many of you have been healed at a healing school? Wow, that's a whole bunch of you too. Praise the Lord. We serve a healing Jesus here, don't we? He is a healing Jesus. Praise the Lord. Wow. Nate, is he the healing Jesus?
He is.
He is. Praise the Lord. Yes, he is. I'm telling you, he is. Thank you, Lord. We are so grateful, Lord, that you are a healing Jesus. Wow. Wow. I just feel so good today. Praise God. I just thank you to think that I just put up with it. It's amazing how the devil does that. You know, he'll come up on you and start putting a pinch on you or something. Just a little one. Not enough to cause you to get all excited. And he just keeps taking a little bit bigger bite and a little bit bigger bite. Until you finally, if he can, he'll get you down, completely down. I remember a story of a pastor. I believe he was a Presbyterian pastor, but he began to study the Word and learn these principles. And he had some kind of lung disease, and he got healed. He got healed of his lung disease, and he served the Lord for 20 or 30 or 40 years with no problems. He got healed of everything. And then one day, this thing started coming back upon him. And of course, the thoughts began to come to him. Well, this disease is coming back because you're old. You're getting old now. You're going to die. It's time for you to die. And so he bought into that at first. He really bought into that. And so he began to get worse and worse and worse. And as he began to get worse and worse, his wife tried to tell him, you know, honey, this has got to be the enemy. You know, you were healed of this. Jesus already paid the price. So she told him that every day as he's laying there in the bed, get worse, worse, weaker and weaker and weaker. And finally, one day he told her, he said, you know, you're right. Jesus did pay the price for this. I did get completely healed 40 years ago of this. Now then, I'm letting this come back on me. So I'm just going to lay here and let it come back up on me and see what happens. So he lay there for days, and he got worse, and he got to where he couldn't hardly turn over in bed. He was so sick. And then he said, okay, now then, Satan, I have power and authority over you. I am demanding and commanding you to come out of me in the name of Jesus and never return. And that devil started leaving, and within a couple of hours of that, that man was completely healed and got up off that bed and walked out of that place.
Praise
the Lord. That guy was quite a guy. He wrote a book. I can't think what the name was, but I read that book years ago. It was years ago when I read that book. I thought, wow. Ain't that something? That's just exactly the way the devil does, isn't it? He'll just, in fact, that couple, one of the couples I dealt with this last week, she'd gotten healed of something, and then it came back after about 3 months. And she thought, wow, well, I thought I was healed. I told her, I said, yeah, he started nibbling on you, didn't he? She said, well, yes, he did. And the pain started getting worse and worse and worse. And I said, well, I'm going to kick him out again. And when I kick him out, I want you to make sure you keep him kicked out. This is just a little evangelist girl, young lady. I told her, I said, you're going to have to keep this devil out. He'll come back. Won't he come back?
Yeah.
I mean, that beast will come back. But anyway, she said, I will never let him back in again. Once we kick him out, so we kicked him out. She got completely healed. She left a healed girl with no pain in her body. I told her, I said, whatever you do, don't you let that devil come back in. She said, don't worry, Pastor. I will not let him in again. Don't you let him in either.
No,
don't you dare. Are we all passed out?
Yes,
we're passed out, folks. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the bread. In Jesus' name, amen. And we eat the bread, then the wine, the juice, the blood. He paid the price so you can be healed. So you can be saved. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. And he turned around and gave it to us as a free gift. Isn't that something? All we got to do is believe. Christ, Romans 10 clearly says, Christ is the end of the law to all them that believe. I believe, don't you? So he's the end of the law. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, well, well. Do we serve an awesome Jesus, ladies and gentlemen? He's a mighty God. I want you to, every morning when you wake up this week, I want you to say, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to be used for your glory. What do you want me to do today? What are you and me going to do today, Lord? And expect him to do something great. I love serving Jesus and love seeing him do things, love seeing him bring somebody to you, in front of you, whatever. To either get them saved, healed, or delivered. Just remember, that's what we're here for. We're not here to fatten our pocketbooks. We're here to serve the King. That's what we're here for. And boy, if you'll just do that, he'll bless your socks off, and he'll do great things. Now then, my prayer team, stand up. My prayer team, so if you need to be prayed for, every time you look around and see somebody standing up, they're all inside, I guess. But anyway, Mike and Gracie, Kim and Scott's gone today, so but Jeff and Dave's here, and me and Cheryl, and Sharon. So I guess that's all of us. So if you need prayer, we'll answer your prayer. If you don't need prayer, well, you're dismissed to get CDs or DVDs, take anything home with you you want. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, the gray box over there on the wall. Father, I thank you and praise you for all these folks. Bless them all this week and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.